Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2010 Filipino comedy, Here Comes the Bride, where five guests of a wedding swap bodies with each other when they have a car accident during a solar eclipse. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So, guys, welcome back. We've all returned from, well, Lucy and I returned from our extended sick leave.
Yep.
Thanks, Brendan, for picking up the slack and doing an episode in our absence.
Yeah, I should have said welcome back, guys. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks. Did you enjoy your freedom of running the program for a week?
No, it was horrible.
Do you have newfound appreciation for what I do?
Yes, of course, Paul.
Good.
So wait, does that mean that you chose this film for us to watch, Brendan?
No, I still went with Paul's choice because I didn't want to bother.
You had one job.
To overtake my dictatorship.
Well, no, actually, like the story idea, I was like, oh, something we haven't seen. Like, come on.
Yeah.
There was five swaps. It was a magnetic hill in a solar eclipse. Like
it was something else.
Well, that's a good jumping on point. So Here Comes the Bride, this week's movie. This is the first movie that we have covered where five main characters all swap bodies. Was this as hard to keep track of as that sounds? And was this a good premise for a body swap?
It was very hard to keep track of who was who. I kept really losing it in my mind. And I thought it was a good premise. I liked the idea. I have some things to say, but
I must be going the other way because I actually found it like I was astounded that I've watched films in English that have done a worse job of like trying to like decipher who's who. Like this one, I felt like they actually did a really good job. Like when the maid was playing the lawyer, I knew instinctively.
Yeah, because all lawyers just like in normal life just yell out like objection, and she also kept yelling out order in the court, which lawyers don't do, but love that.
Like it does help that everyone is like two-dimensional because they have these like cartoonish like, you know, flourishes. Yeah. But yeah, I stuck with it.
I am surprised how easy it was to keep track of everyone. I actually, as it was happening, when the swaps first happened, I actually, in my notes, like, wrote down who turned into who because I thought I might need that to keep track of it. But I never had to go back to the note to go, oh, okay, so the bride is now the old lady and vice versa. Like, it was pretty obvious what was going on.
Well, yeah, everyone's objectives
was very
clear.
But what about the scene at the end when they kept changing like 100 times into each other?
I will admit, I did get lost.
Yeah.
I did get lost then.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I had a really fun time watching this film. It's so fucking stupid. And I laughed. And there was, like, I'm very tired today. I'm running on no sleep. But there was times where it broke me. Like, I was crying. I was crying laughing because it was so stupid.
This was one I definitely, you know, the good old days of us watching the movie all together, breathing in each other's particles. This would have been a fun one to watch together.
Yeah.
There were some sex scenes that were very uncomfortable. And like when you're just sitting by yourself with headphones on, you're just sort of like, what is going on with my life?
I had a really good time and I never want to see this again.
Yeah. I would put that. I would back that.
I wouldn't back that. I would love to show this to people. Like, I don't think I'd ever watch it by myself again, but I would love to show this to people. And I've already like taken like some screenshots and stuff and sent them around to people because there's some classic lines in this film.
I just think that when a film starts, like literally starts with once upon a time, 2 years ago, you just know you're in for a treat.
Like, it seems like this film, everything went to its natural conclusions, and that's what made it so nuts. Like,
yeah.
The fact that they were like, well, we've got 2 years until the next solar eclipse. But we can't live our lives normally. So we're literally going to live in a house for 2 years. This one person who doesn't want to switch bodies back, we're going to chain them to a bed for 2 years.
Yeah. Like, and I argue that should have been the film. The whole thing should have just been like a reality TV show of them in like swap jail.
2 years.
That they had to live in for 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say watching this film, I'm like, this is actually a swap film that could be remade as a Hollywood film quite easily. And
yeah, I did think, imagine it with a killer cast. Like,
yeah, it is actually a great premise. And I think that it could translate quite well. But then also when they introduce this whole 2 year time span of five swapped people and all their friends and relatives secluded in a house together because they don't want to be exposed to the like greater society, that could make a really good sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, I could see a long running
exactly.
sitcom.
I see
about
like
a whole bunch of swapped people.
I see like a mockumentary style thing. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. The next what we do in the shadows.
Yeah.
With swapped people.
Yeah.
Do you want to, for the listeners at home, Paul, run us through the plot summary?
This is going to be impossible, but yeah, I can try.
I thought you said it was really easy to keep track of and it was just really simple.
There's like five people to do it.
Three, two, one.
Okay, so there's a wedding and all the people involved in the wedding are driving to it and it's a solar eclipse and then they're in five separate cars and the cars smash into each other during the eclipse and that caused five people, one in each car, to all swap souls with each other and then it's the wedding day and they're all just trying to work out who they are and one of them's gay and he wants to fuck everyone now that he's a woman and then they realize they can't swap for another 2 years. So then,
keep going, man.
Yeah. So then they decide to live in a house together for 2 years, and then
I love once this. This only works because one of them is a super rich dude who has like a mansion that they can live in, and like they can all afford to eat and whatever.
Pay their way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they literally all would have to stop their lives.
And
for
it's
two
like,
years.
What about you know, every other swap movie we see, like what no one had a big exam or a football game or, you know, like the big thing.
One was having their wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, and then once the next solar eclipse happens, they decide to recreate the accident. but it doesn't work straight away. They all swap into the wrong bodies, so they have to do that like 10 times over. And every time that they crash into each other, there's a sequence of them working out who each other are, and that just goes on for so long. But they eventually all get back
like,
into the correct
it's like
bodies.
Every actor was like, I want the opportunity to do my version of X. Like,
yes, and totally. So
yeah.
Everyone got to go. Yeah.
Everybody deserves the chance to be a over-the-top gay stereotype.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that representation coming off the back of Pride Month. How do you feel there?
And his friends.
This film is wildly offensive. It is wildly offensive, and it made me laugh so much because it's so offensive. You can't help but laugh. And I don't know, like, I don't think there's a mean-spiritedness behind it, but it is still offensive. Like, the implication of the film is that all gay men, but definitely this gay man is, like, he's an awful person who's only obsessed with, like, having sex with straight guys. Mm. So before he swaps, it's established that he is only attracted exclusively to straight guys. And that's why he can never have a relationship. And then when he finds himself swapped into a beautiful woman's body, he's like immediately like, I gotta fuck everyone. And you know, when all the other characters are trying to reason with him, he just won't have it at all, to the point where they have to tie him up, chain him up so that he can't, you know, go fuck crazy on everyone.
What about when the gay friend sees, like, his gay friend having sex with a woman because it's a swapped body, and he runs out of the room and he vomits, like, very, like, just very real, disgusting vomit out of his mouth? Like, they just they just show you everything?
In a Hollywood film, it'd be, like, turns the other way and you might see the vomit, like, spray subtly. This is, like, full vomit, like exorcist vomit scene. And only because he walked in on his gay friend
on
having
straight
sex with a woman.
Yeah.
And like, and then the other gay guy comes and walks in on it too, and he starts crying. Like,
they're
sobbing.
Scarred for life. Yeah.
Well, like, is it an offensive stereotype? Like, do you know much about the gay culture in the Philippines? Maybe it's, you know, bang on.
That gay men need to be chained up in the Philippines. I'm pretty sure that's not a thing.
And that's on the editing room floor. Obviously, we have to point out there's always going to be cultural nuances that, like, we can't understand. I'm interested. Why was it like every fourth sentence was in English? What was that?
I mean, that really threw me. Like, I was like, I'm reading and now I'm hearing, and then I, like, my brain switches off the reading, and then it all of a sudden is back to, yeah.
And sometimes the subtitles were like very much a generalization of like a big thing that had just been said. So it was a bit like, what? That's not what.
Well, like, I can't speak as a Filipino person, obviously, because I'm not one, but I'm Maltese, and Malta is another country where the English and Maltese are both widely spoken by the entire population.
So that it would just be a thing of both languages paragraph.
When you're in Malta, that it's a very common thing, like one sentence in English, one sentence in Maltese, or even like a sentence constructed of both languages. I think it's a similar situation.
Mm.
One of the scenes that really made me laugh in this film, though, so there's the mother of the bride, and her best friend is her daughter's godmother, and the bride and her godmother swap bodies. So the godmother is the daughter. And when she wakes up, she goes to speak to her mother, and the mother just flips out. Yeah. So her friend obviously has just been in a car accident, been concussed, and waking up, and she's like, Mum, what's wrong? And, like, and her reaction is slapping her in the face. Yeah,
chain her up, throw away the key, put her in a straitjacket. It's like, even if there was no swap involved, surely a doctor, they just go with it. Surely a doctor would be like, oh, there might be some confusion or amnesia, or she'll come good. But it's just like, no, it's straight away. Yeah. She's got, like, a crazy bandage on her head and a straitjacket.
Or a nurse will be like, can you stop slapping her, please?
Yes. And the injection, the sedative they give her is green. It's like
it's the syringe you would give to a horse.
Yeah.
And they just inject it to her neck. But yeah, she, like, fully slaps her in the face, like, four times, and then they put her in a straitjacket. And, like, all she did was call the woman her mother.
Yeah, I know.
But she was gonna ruin the wedding.
And then later she's like, I'm really worried about my best friend. I think after the wedding we'll find her some help. It's like,
don't let her ruin this wedding. Yeah.
What did you guys think of the wedding itself?
So both dresses are a total boot. Oh my God. They're both a disaster.
Yeah. The fact that the bomboniere or take home presents for the guests were love heart shaped pillows, and each side was, like, one side was the groom's face and one side was the bride's face.
And she had the audacity to say, I hope that the wedding favors are tasteful. It's like, in what world?
That, imagine going to a wedding and getting that as the present.
It's like, what am I going to fucking do with this? I just, a beach wedding, it's not for me. Paul, you're going to get married on the beach, aren't you? You look the type.
I would have to get married to begin with. I'll have a dying alone party on the beach.
Wait, what's the look the type for having a beach wedding?
Paul, like, loves warm weather. He's a little, like, water baby beach boy.
I picture him going to, like, Disneyland and doing it in the castle.
That big time, yeah.
Yeah. Like, again, I'm not going to get married.
So, gentlemen, send your request, your proposals to the SwapPlusPodcast at Gmail.
But, yeah, otherwise, yeah, I will have a destination beach funeral.
No.
You'll make us go to another country to go to your funeral.
Yeah, I'm being buried in Fiji.
And then we're gonna, like, weekend at Bernie's you on the beach.
Yeah, I want my corpse to recreate the scene of this film when the gay guy swaps into the woman's body, and then she goes and interrupts that beach volleyball game and has, like, a dance party on the beach with all the sexy boys.
And then says, my body is a wonderland, your body is a wasteland. Did you see, there was a little Easter egg in this movie just for us. Did you see it?
So when they're stuck in the house together, they're all watching swap movies.
Yeah. Did you see a pile it, Brendan?
They had like big 17 again. I didn't see them all.
Hot Chick, Freaky Friday, Suddenly 30. We've done them all. There was no.
Yeah, and if you really look closely, you could only see the bottom, like, centimeter of the cover.
Yeah,
but
you knew what,
like,
it was.
Like Father, Like Son was on
God,
the bottom.
That's hilarious. I did wonder what that one was. Like, so funny.
I was surprised to see 17 again, because watching this film and looking at it, I was like, this is from, like, the 90s, isn't it?
So I read that this opened the same weekend as Iron Man, and it did better at the box office in the Philippines than Iron Man.
Yes.
Justice. Well, if Robert Downey Jr. yelled out, I have a gay man inside my body, then maybe it would have done better. You know the scene in swap movies where, you know, they're trying to prove to their friend that they are who they are, and they're like, remember when this happened? In this film it was, your first kiss was with your first cousin.
Yeah.
I was like, how full on is this going to get?
See, that's what I mean. Like, you have to dig that well deep to be able to convince someone. And, like, they kept continuously going there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciated that.
What about, like, all the uncomfortable sex scenes? Let's really drill down into the narrative of those.
Which one?
The thing that made me laugh was, you know, when it's like the couple that got married, but it's, you know, one of them is now a middle-aged woman, if not older.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like they're trying to have sex because they waited, like they didn't have sex.
Yes,
they didn't have sex before marriage. Yeah. And then she's going, focus, just focus. And I'm going, don't focus. Turn the fucking lights off.
Tells him to just close his eyes.
And then she's like, look away. Do you want to put a pillow on my face? Oh my God.
There was some scenes like that which I was laughing my ass off, but were really dark. Like, like the maid situation that her parents. She basically works as a
slave.
A slave. Like, she's a maid to this family, and she gets none of the money because her family is so poor.
And she got those text messages, and it was like, your father's in the hospital, your dog is dead.
I'm ill too. Your brother's been stabbed. Your sister's pregnant, and your dog's dying. It's like, oof, please send us money and also phone credit. Remember when you had to care about phone credit?
Yeah, it was huge.
And that fucking kid that she has to take care of, like the world's worst child.
Oh my God, horrible.
It definitely gave me flashbacks of the Babadook, like that awful kid in that film.
Actually, I haven't seen that movie.
You've pretty much watched it now that you've watched this. They go on a road trip and she forgets to pack his PSP. So like there's like this 10-minute sequence of him like screaming in her face, I need my PSP over and over and over again. It was truly horrifying.
It was a nightmare for sure. One thing I just do want to like put a hole in is what were they supposed to learn? Like, this should have been some visiting of themes that they were supposed to. Do you know what I mean?
I think they just got to live out their, like, it was like wish fulfillment more so than actual anyone needing to learn a lesson. Because
the nanny was poor and she wanted to know what it's like to be rich. And the old man was old and wanted to know what it. When it
wanted
feel
to be,
like
feel young again.
Yeah. Then the
lawyer lady.
The lawyer lady, she wanted love.
Yeah, I think so.
You're really reaching, guys. Your arms hurt.
Lawyer lady was a bit vague, but she just seemed to
put her in the court.
And the and the gay guy wanted dick.
Yeah.
From straight
men. And the bride wanted her fucking body back because she's been waiting 4 years to touch that guy.
Can we talk about the wedding dress when she alters her wedding dress? And it's like she puts like lampshades and fake flowers on it. And I love the premise of like someone taking shears to like a bed sheet and then walking out in, you know, something beautiful. But it was a fucking disaster.
Yeah. And that was supposed to be a gay man in that body making that dress. No gay man would have like saw the end product and go, this is acceptable. I'm sorry. I did really laugh.
Wait, did you think his clothes when he was in his own body were stylish?
He was doing him, you know, like
he was living his fantasy. That's right.
Yeah. The bit that made me really laugh as well is the old man when he goes into the gay guy's body, and then like the gay guy is a makeup artist and he has
image stylist.
He's a running gag.
That was not a good gag, by the way.
No. But yeah, he has to do this girl's makeup and he just like smears. It looked like when Marge Simpson got shot with the makeup gun.
But, like, even worse than that, because the Marge Simpson makeup gun, at least it was, like, in the general area. It was, like, lipstick, eyeshadow. But this was just, like, he made her look like a panda, like a neon panda. She had one blue eye and one purple eye that went, like, all over her face.
It looked like insanity. He just took it in his hands and just ran it down her face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, Brendan, if you went into a gay man makeup person's body
and image stylist,
was told to go and do a woman's face, you'd do a better job than that?
Yes. But, like, I also was, like, confused because she was like, give me the natural look. And so his hands went to, like, neon
pink and purple.
Oh, well, you know, it all worked out because they ended up
together
fucking hours, like mere like hour later. And
I love his sons as well meet their new stepmom, who's like, 70 years younger than the rich grandpa. And they're just like fine with it. It's like, she's coming for your inheritance. Like, this should be.
I don't know if they were fine with it.
They found love beforehand, like in the other body. Don't you think that it meant something that she like stuck it out with him for those 2 years?
The stepsons just like immediately embrace that woman. They should be like, you're younger than me. This is not good.
Yeah, I don't think it was much of a sacrifice on her part because she knew that he was the rich man after like 10 minutes of knowing them. Plus, for the 2 years, she was getting to fuck a guy in his 40s rather than a guy in his 80s.
Yeah, and that guy's so old, he won't live very long, and then she'll get all his money, and the sons are going to be left out in the cold. I've invented the whole sequel, which, by the way, I read. Is there a sequel?
I don't think so.
I wrote, but literally the last thing I wrote was, don't tell Paul, but I just couldn't help.
It would be pretty difficult to make a sequel out of this.
I think they should just do the 2 years in the house and all the things that happened.
When the bride in the middle-aged woman's body escapes the hospital, the amount of nurses that get injured in the and other patients.
And patients.
It's like it was like the Blues Brothers, you know, like.
Yeah,
everyone was chasing her down.
Yeah, they were going out of their way to just like knock people to the ground.
And she's yelling, where's the exit? And like orderlies are like pointing to where it is. I'm like, this woman's in a straitjacket. She's like leaving carnage in her wake. Obviously, you wouldn't be like, there's the door.
And then she's running down the street while kids are pelting things at her. And then some ice cream vendor throws like a frozen drink at her face. Like,
guys, was this a masterpiece? I think it might have been.
As I regale it, it does come back with fonder memories than when I was watching it.
Did you enjoy the scene when we're establishing the characters and that dog was fucking her leg?
No. That's all I have to say about that.
End of conversation.
Did you appreciate their endings? Like, were you happy to see the gay guy get like a sponge bath from three hot orderlies?
Yeah, that felt a little bit like that wasn't ethical.
Well, I mean, what's not ethical
really
about it?
They seemed really happy to give it. They were like pumped. Where each one that came through the door was just like, you ready for your sponge bath?
Yeah, I think it actually wasn't that he was in hospital. It was like the set of a softcore porn.
Or he was hallucinating. Because I've been to hospital and that shit never happens.
When I got when I got my tonsils out, we were all waiting in that room to get like wheeled down to the theater, and like all the orderlies are waiting to see who they have to take. And I did get a very handsome one, and I was like, you know, wearing a shower cap and a surgical gown and like surgical socks. So I was like, of course, why can't I get a nice lady? I don't want the cute guy.
How was his sponge bath skills, though?
Well, I didn't need one, so.
Your tonsils.
Before I go in, please.
Now, at the end, because when the bride-to-be's back in her body and her partner are in hospital beds next to each other, and they're like, well, like, can we now make this, it's been 6 years, can we now make this official? Does that mean when he was, when the bride was in the lawyer's body, he and her did not have sex for 2 years?
I think that was the implication, because yeah, they said like they were still waiting. He could not get an erection for a middle-aged woman.
I,
she was that fucking gross that he was like, no.
Like, Eddie Murphy does like a great bit on like a cracker in the desert. And I think it applies here.
Especially you're trapped in a house for 2 years. You're telling
you're,
me.
You're sleeping in bed next to each other. They definitely did. That's my opinion. And it was like the official, like, I get you in your original body consummation. Yeah. Yes.
No, I agree. Like, I think out of everything in this film, that's the most unrealistic thing that makes yeah. no sense. Lisa's just like in a fugue state. I refuse to take part of this conversation.
I was going to go on this whole tangent about how, you know, the way at the end they're like they want to get it on and they're in the hospital beds next to each other.
Yeah.
And they've got like casts on their legs and stuff. You just know that that's someone's fetish. For a while, I don't know why I was getting all these targeted ads for like fake knee braces and fake like braces. It was like fetish gear. Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, you were getting targeted ads for this stuff?
No, do you know what it was? It was like an Instagram account that wanted to follow me.
Ah.
Yeah, and it like I clicked on it, I'm like, oh, who's this? And then I'm like, oh, things exist that I don't know about.
Like, how good do you think that sex was where he couldn't move his leg properly and she was in a neck brace?
Not
I
the
feel
best.
Like, I feel like they probably should have waited another week or so.
Yeah, they probably broke more bones and then had to, like, wait even longer.
I just want to say, I do think there was an outstanding performance by the maid. Whoever that woman was, I actually think she stole the show. Every time she was portraying a different character, I knew exactly who it was. And I think she deserved a bit of a, you know,
I thought that the gay guy in the bride's body was pretty, that was pretty unreal.
Yeah, because at the start, I was like, does she know how to speak English? Is she just saying it phonetically? And then all of a sudden, that character is playing the gay guy, and it's all of a sudden a totally different personality. I was like, oh, yeah. I guess she was just going for this weird...
Yeah, I hated her as herself, but then when she became the gay guy, I was like, she can act now.
Yeah, like, why would a girl that pretty, great segue for Hot or Not, but why would a girl that pretty choose a wedding dress that ugly? It was like someone had wrapped a doona, around her and put diamantes on it. It was
hideous.
Yeah, and she was like properly. A beautiful, tiny, like, and it was a doona.
Hmm.
But then she got the dress, the really cool one.
Made out of a lampshade.
Yeah.
Hideous.
Mila, there's a gay man inside my body.
My God!
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, so you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Lucy.
Oh, are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding.
Ding. Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Now do it in Filipino.
editing this out.
All right. So, Angelica Panganiban, who played Stephanie, which was the bride.
Very pretty.
Yeah, very pretty. I'm trying to figure out if she was hotter as the gay guy or as herself.
Burn. Yeah, the character was super annoying. She was so, like, meek.
Yeah, that was... I think I found that more irritating than being loud and obnoxious.
Completely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was hotter as the gay guy. I like the fact that she was just down to fuck. Like,
and I love as well, she was, there was that scene of her in the bathing suit. It's like, where did you even get that from?
No, they showed it. She got the bathing suit out of her luggage and then she cut it up.
Oh, yes. I must have looked away for 5 seconds. Wow, she's just so talented with those scissors. That's amazing.
I do like someone who could just run into a crowd of strangers and go, let's dance.
Yeah.
They all start dancing. That's an energy that I enjoy.
Yeah. Eugene Domingo as Precy, who was the lawyer that she swaps into. So hideous that he could not get an erection for 2 years.
2 years.
I don't want to do this.
Do you reckon that 2 years he slipped into the gay guy's room? It's just like, just be quiet.
Just don't speak. You look like my wife. Look, I feel like in the first bit, like when she is herself, they gave her like a bad haircut
that
and stuff.
Hairdo, yeah, made it so much uglier.
Yeah.
And her personality was pretty fucking hideous.
But then when she's like living in the house, she like her hair chilled out a bit and she was like a pretty lady.
Yeah, like when she had it like straightened and stuff, she was I
like the haircut at the start is kind of like a Karen haircut. It's like short. That real speak to the manager haircut. So
like if you see her IMDb picture, she's actually legit beautiful.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think this film did her any favors. I personally thought she was hottest in the straitjacket. No.
Have you been using Lucy's account?
Yeah.
That's why she's getting targeted at.
I'm going to give her a not because, like, as her own personality, she was fucking annoying. And, like, speaking in lawyer speak 24/7.
It's like, we get it. You're a lawyer. Yeah.
I object. Pretty awful. John Lapis as... This is probably one of the best names of any character we've had in any of the films we reviewed. Toffee Carbonell. Toffee Carbonell, the gay guy.
Wait, is that his last name? The gay guy?
No, that's like, you know, like John Lester II. He is like Toffee Carbonell, the gay guy. It's his title.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I'm going
to
give him a not.
I was.
He's a not. He's like got Predator vibes.
Yeah.
He is.
He ended just, Pride Month.
Yeah. I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it. I'm sorry, John, but maybe in another role you could work it, but not as Toffee.
And then also I just hated when his character, when he swapped into the old guy, telling the girl that, like, women shouldn't wear makeup and they're so much more beautiful when they don't. I'm like, yeah, hate when you fucking say that. It's like, if a man wants for me to wear less makeup, all he needs to do is ask, and I'm going to say no.
Also, like, the fact that he went into a sexual relationship with that woman and kept calling her child.
Oh, no.
Yeah, wasn't loving that.
Yeah, like 89? How old was he when they did his birthday cake in the house?
Yeah, I think it was 89.
And a 20-year-old? I'm not here for it.
No. Tuesday Vargas as Madeline.
I think Tuesday is such a cool name, by the way.
Yeah. And she, like, so this is the maid. If you look at her IMDb picture, she is like a cool chick. Like, she in real life, she's got like this short silver like hairdo and like sleeve tattoos.
Really?
Like, she's a cool looking lady.
Oh, good for her. And she, like Brendan said, she was a good actress, so she gets a hot.
And also, as soon as she like put that hair back and got a
after
got
she
a
was
belt,
being terrorized by that child.
Yeah. took some authority, you know. I'm gonna give her a hot heat even in this film.
Yeah.
even when this film tried to do that to her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna give her a hot. And Jamie Fabregas, the last member of our SWAT fivesome, the old man.
Lucy? So when he was swapped, when he was doing that thing about how much everything cost, he was already swapped, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay, because I just hate when rich people are like, this is so expensive, and it's like, you're fucking rich, get over it.
Yeah, but how much was the cake? 200,000 something.
Pesos. So I don't think that would be as much.
200,000 of something.
It had gold leaf pesos. In it, maybe.
And how stupid was it when, like, they're having the chase sequence and then the two people just start carrying the cake around in a panic and you're like, are you trying to drop it on purpose?
Yeah, so look, he just... no, he was a bad dude. He, like, tricked that young girl into having sex with him.
That's $6,000 for a cake.
89-year-old. There you go.
$6,000 is pretty reasonable for a wedding cake.
Yeah, that stands up, but that's full on. Like, shit's expensive.
And it was a big fucking cake as well.
Yeah, one that could level a lady.
Yeah. He was a bad dude, so. But,
yeah, I'm giving him a not.
Yeah.
Not attractive at all. Brendan?
But I liked him in that relationship. I think they were good together. he's a not.
So Kay Cortez as Maurice, the girl that he grooms.
She's an adult, Paul.
But he still lied to her. So there was an element of, I don't know, he like gaslighted her into a relationship.
He definitely was lying about who he's, like identity fraud, maybe. Manipulation.
I thought she was super pretty.
Yeah, and she was quite confident and, yeah. And, like, if she wants to wear makeup, she can. So, fuck all the haters. So, she gets a heart from me.
Yeah, I'm giving her a heart.
Yep.
Okay, and finally, Tom Rodriguez is Harold, the groom.
Okay.
He was pretty fucking hot.
Yeah.
Would you wait 4 years, Paul?
No, there's no way.
We'd wait four hours.
But that's your reward.
Yeah, and 4 years of nothing. Fuck that shit. Tom Rodriguez, I always appreciate a slow motion, like, exiting a
body beach. Of water.
Yeah, shot. And this film gave that to us, which I appreciated. His erectile dysfunction maybe would give him points off, but otherwise,
it's just like, lie back and think of England, dude. Come on.
Like, I could understand if he was like, if she had swapped into the old man, just say, I understand that he couldn't get it up for him, but like, she wasn't that bad.
Yeah. And a common phrase that Lucy would say, all cats feel the same in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, just turn the lights off and don't like so intensely tell him to focus on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he hasn't had sex presumably at least 4 years or even longer. Maybe they were like high school sweethearts. This was his first girlfriend. He's never had sex with anyone.
Yeah, like, for real. Like, if they were that religious, like, a cool breeze could have set him up.
You're acting weird. What are you doing?
Oh, weird. Babe, hey, Steph, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, sure, now, sure.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it's not your final question.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Here Comes the Bride from across the interwebs. Now, unfortunately, there were heaps of reviews of this film, but unfortunately, like, none of them slammed it. Everybody fucking loves this movie. It's universally loved.
Yeah, well, I looked it up on Letterboxd and it was like a 3.7 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, we might be seeing a good film.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll see where it ranks.
Yeah.
We saw a film. I had a good time.
Yeah. So I'm going to read one that kind of encapsulates what people generally think. This is Ray Benipeo, who gives it 5 stars on Letterboxd, and he says, I have seen Here Comes the Bride many times by now, and it always feels brand new. I don't know why, but one thing is for sure, this film is one of the greatest comedy movies of all time. Calibrated with brilliant actors and director, the film is a hilarious ride from start to finish. I tell you, it's not your average body-switching movie. In the end, this film is a must-see Filipino classic. By the way, beware of the post-credit scene. Did you guys stick around for the post-credits?
The post-credit.
I think so.
It was like they have a
seance. It explained why them.
Oh, no. I didn't.
It did feel like the setup for another film, really.
Yeah, so it flashes back to the 2 years when they were in the house and they decide to get a psychic to do a seance, try to work out why they were the 5 that swapped. And then
this would be around episode 3 in the series,
I think. and they find out that their 5 souls have been like linked throughout history back to caveman times. And
it shows photos of the 5 of them, like, in different What
do you think
eras.
It says about me that as soon as I could shut the laptop, I did. Yeah, right, I missed that.
Yeah. So do you guys agree that this is one of the greatest comedies of all time?
No. Like, I have to say, like, the production was the thing that I was probably most trying.
I was going to ask, like, the sound, the way the sound worked, like, every time a scene ended, it was, like, really, like, abrupt, the sound. I don't know how to describe what that is, but it's, like, nothing, like, mushed together.
And if anyone gay was on screen, my ears would be bleeding from their, like, shrill screams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's realistic. So.
But, like, the lighting and the look of it was just the part that I think is hardest to get over for me.
Yeah. No, I agree. But also, like, this wasn't a high-def Blu-ray copy of the film that we all watched, so possibly watching it in its proper format might...
I think even so, yeah, like, I don't think composition this is gonna... of shots and everything, yeah. Like, it felt like I was watching a sitcom from, I don't know...
The Philippines.
Philippines.
Yeah.
You always fall for boys who like girls.
Tama.
Why don't you open your heart for boys who like boys?
Mm. Yuck! Parang kayo, sing babakla nyo yung mga jowa nyo over my dead sexy body.
All right, so let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started. My connection is movies that are set at the beach, which this film is. So I wanted to recommend the 2013 Disney Channel original movie, Teen Beach Movie. Have either of you guys seen this?
No.
Oh, my God.
So
have you?
No, it's just irritating that they've got a fucking film for every occasion. It's like, oh, there's zombies? Let me tell you about zombies.
Zombies 3 is coming out
in 2 weeks.
We've got
high school.
I'm so excited, Zombie 3 in 2 weeks. But anyway, so
Teen Beach Movie. Tell me about this generic property.
So this is not generic at all. This is actually one of the most interesting Disney Channel original movies, and probably one of the most like high production value Disney Channel original movies that they've ever done. It stars Ross Lynch, who you guys might remember from the classic Status Update that I made, I think, Lucy watch as a tenuous recommendation.
Was it you? Me.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was you, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know you've become a lifelong fan of Ross Lynch since that film. So,
Googling his name.
So, this film is essentially a remake of Pleasantville. So, basically, it's about this couple, and the girl has found out she has to move away to live with her auntie, which means the couple's going to have to break up. But then before that happens, they magically get sucked into a 1950s beach musical and are kind of forced to live in the movie. But then them being in it, they start changing the, you know, the minds and opinions of the people in it, and the movie starts falling apart. And
it really is Pleasantville.
It is. It's Pleasantville. But it's a musical because they've been sucked into a musical, and the music's like super fun. And like,
it's like fun 50s music.
Yeah. So like, instead of like your normal Disney Channel kind of songs, they've actually made the effort to recreate the style of a 1950s beach musical. So it really sets this apart from a lot of the other Disney Channel movies. And I like dare say this is like a genuinely fun, enjoyable movie that I like. A lot of these Disney Channel movies, I'm like, I love this, but I'm not gonna claim it's a good movie. This one, I would actually say it's like genuinely good. So yeah, teen beach movie
sounds fun.
Yeah. So is Ross Lynch? He also is in a few other Disney properties, eh? Like he's
Austin and Ally.
Quicksilver in WandaVision, and
no, that's a different actor.
They look exactly the same.
All right, Lucy, what's yours?
Okay, so I went with the theme of a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I tried, and I'm doing About Time.
Nice. I've never seen this.
Oh, really? So yeah. It's got Brendan's favorite thing. Have you seen it? Time travel?
No, I haven't. I haven't. There's like two out there and I always confuse them. Is it the one with Eric Bana grooming a child or the other one?
The other one. Yeah. So a guy finds out on his 21st birthday, and it's the guy from Star Wars and Frank and whatever that actor's name is.
Ex Machina.
Yeah. So good actor. Sorry about your name, buddy.
Dom Hall Gleason. Yeah.
There you go. He finds out on his 21st birthday, his dad like takes him aside and tells him that he can time travel, and that all the men in their family can, like when they turn 21, they get this power. And then through like a series of hijinks, he meets and unmeets and has to re-meet like the love of his life. Like through time travel, he kind of muddles it up. And then he uses time travel to try and plan the perfect proposal and have the perfect wedding, and kind of finds out that all of that doesn't really matter. And it's got some really beautiful themes about family and love in it. And it's just a really sweet film. It's got Bill Nye in it as well. He plays the dad. And Rachel McAdams of Mean Girls and Hot Chick alum. So
when you guys took a break from the podcast for a couple of weeks, I did Doctor Strange with Brod and Liam on the show. And Liam actually did About Time as his 10-year recommendation as well.
Oh, I'm behind. I didn't get to listen.
Yeah, we actually did some messages because the thing is with that episode, it gets very geeky about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And at the end of the episode, I was like...
Yeah, so look, I'm just going to say I did start listening and I just tuned out. No, yeah. I'm joking.
Well, I literally, in that episode, I'm like, there is no way Lucy is listening to this whole episode. And we actually said, like, gave you a code word so that if you actually do listen to it, you say it and we know. And obviously that didn't happen.
Sorry, guys. I just have to tell you, like, as a child who now will repeat, as a mother of a child who will now repeat anything they hear, I can't listen to our podcast in the car with him anymore because, Paul Mitzi, you say some things. And that's why I'm so behind on our episodes.
Yes.
Actually, on all podcasts. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a double recommendation. Everybody loves About Time. That's actually his favorite movie of all time.
Oh, sweet. So. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be interested in like hearing what you guys think of it, because I feel like it's like very tender. So maybe it wouldn't be something that normally Brendan would normally watch. But I do know you love time travel, so
I like tender things. I watch Cha Cha Real Smooth.
But there is a I haven't seen that yet either. So this is way behind on everything. There is like a kind of coming of age element that you love, like understanding your place in the world.
I'd like to know the time travel. What sort of time travel are we talking here? Like, will I be frustrated by it, or is it more like Bill and Ted's where you're like, don't worry about it?
It is maybe the frustrating kind, because the guy's like going to do his proposal and then like it's a rainy day or whatever, and then like goes back, like, you know, tries to do it just is right. It,
have you ever seen the film Frequency? That's like my like least favorite, like, time travel, where like someone gets their hand chopped off in something happening in the past and they're having a fight in the future and like their hand disappears and they're like, whoa.
It's not, that doesn't happen, but
it's like, no, your hand's been missing for 20 years, mate. What's going on?
Yeah, anyway. That doesn't happen, but it is the sort of thing where he keeps trying to repeat things to get them to be perfect, and kind of finds out that maybe that, you know, life isn't like that, and that he makes some mistakes in doing that, like he erases something, like he loses his girlfriend. He has to meet her again and make it go well. Yeah, right, I really like it.
All right, Brendan, what's yours?
Mine is a little, do you call it a mockumentary if it's trying to be like serious? Like,
yeah, if it's not a real documentary and it's aping the style of a documentary, then it's a mockumentary.
I am recommending the
Blair Witch
mockumentary, the mockumentary horror,
Blair Witch Project.
Like Lake Mungo, which is not, but is in the vein, I guess, of the Blair Witch Project. I think it's Melbourne. I can't remember where. Anyway, it's an Australian film, and it's about a sort of a missing child case, and there's like this supernatural element to it, and it's like does a really good job of playing something that would suck you in, like on Netflix, you know, late at night.
Is that the link that it's super, like, is there a solar eclipse? Did you say what the link was?
Oh, like if you look at the time code for a minute and 24 frames in, they say a glue monk, which is an anagram for Lake Mungo. So there you go. I made that up. Yeah. It's just a supernatural link.
Paul's frozen and he looks so pissed off. It's amazing. It could not be any more perfect. You were literally frozen like this, Paul. Yeah, like, you're going to come on my podcast with your bullshit links. No, it's good. And keep telling us about it.
No, I it does a really good job of sucking you in, and you feel it. And then there's something that happens at the end where you're like, you got me. That feels so, like, frustrating but satisfying. So, yeah. I randomly saw it on SBS one time and thought I should recommend it.
Cool. Sounds cool. I feel like you do a good job of always recommending, like, local productions.
Thank you.
Good job.
I want my PSP, Aya!
Patigilin mo yung alaga mo, sumasakit ulo ko dyan.
All right, so if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every Body Swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put Here Comes the Bride on our lists? All right. I'm going to put it in between Life is Easy, the New Zealand miniseries that we watched, and The Dude in Me, which is like the Korean body swap that we watched.
I'm putting it similarly placed. Mine is actually two above The Dude in Me. So it's between Vice Versa and Miss Granny.
Okay, I'm putting it in between Child's Play and Dating the Enemy, because why not? I don't know. It can't go above every day, can it?
Well, which it's one did you enjoy
it's
more?
It's above Freaky Friday. That's not right.
So that's the two. Is it the 2003 one? Because that
no,
one's the musical.
No, it's 2018.
Oh, right.
That's, no, that is the musical one, isn't it?
Yeah. The musical one's 2018.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm good with that. But Child's Play and Day to the Enemy, that's fine. There's one there called The Swap. No idea what that. No idea what
I think
that
was like the third one we did.
That's the Disney Channel one where the mobile phones make them swap.
Yep.
And he wouldn't take his clothes off while he was swapped because he was being respectful to the girl.
Yeah, you know how every teenage boy's like that?
Yeah.
Do you know they're like they're both like major stars in the Karate Kid series, the Cobra Kai show?
Yeah,
they're like main cast, so like they're together again.
Yeah. The pairing everybody was craving.
That nobody was craving.
All right, so next episode, how could we possibly follow up a 5-person body swap,
a 6-person body swap,
with something that Katrina will actually watch with me?
Rut roll.
Oh, I don't know. How well does she do with horror?
If you're talking about Get Out, she'll take it for something good. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's not into horror for horror's sake. But if there's something that's being like classed as like, oh, this is actually an exception to the horror slasher genre, she will give it a go.
How about a horror comedy from the director of Lindsay Lohan's I Know Who Killed Me?
Wait, which one's the horror comedy? I Know Who Killed Me, or this one that we're about to watch?
This one we're about to watch.
She can go to bed early and me and Tommy will... My son will watch this one.
So this film is a collaboration between that guy who directed I Know He Killed Me and Lucky McKay, who directed the horror cult classic May. I don't know if you've seen it, with Anna Faris.
No.
But anyway.
Is that one a comedy?
It's kind of a mix.
Is that a body swap? Can we do that?
No.
Anna Faris, body
God
swap?
God damn it.
Wait, is Anna surely in her catalogue of like average films?
You
Anna
sweet
Faris
baby.
Has...
Baby
wait,
angel.
Oh, wait, the hot chick. But she doesn't swap.
That's true. She'd be good. We've derailed this so much.
Let's write that film, send her the script. But in the meantime, we will be reviewing a movie called All Cheerleaders Die, where a rebel girl signs up a group of cheerleaders to help her take down the captain of their high school football team, but a supernatural turn of events thrusts the girls into a different battle.
This will be, maybe we'll get some freaky vibes from this, you know?
Yeah. Probably not.
Serial killer.
I'm thinking, like... To me, it sounds a bit like Jennifer's Body kind of vibe.
Oh, I'm down with that.
Which is a great movie, so...
I always like a cheerleader film because... Like,
you would.
You pig.
No, because they're not real. They're like this fake thing that American TV has. And I always enjoy like the... They're like...
Like, one thing I just can't understand is...
Elves or something.
Why do they wear the cheerleading uniform every day? Like, surely no one would want that. Like...
I don't know. Don't they have, like... They've got, like, lycra shorts underneath? It's probably, like, really, like, you know, lax.
Girls are like would want to be, like, doing their fashion and shit. Especially, like, all the popular girls. Wouldn't they be wanting to, you know...
Well, hopefully this film answers this question.
All those questions.
And more.
It sounds like it's going to be terrible. Like, what we say about it is going to be shit.
I always feel like we find our groove, like, at the end of the episode.
Not tonight, though. I feel like...
Let's talk about this film again. Let's start at the top. All right. Old people having sex with young people. Go.
Oh, Lord.
All right, on that note, It was great getting the gang back together. Look forward to the next one.
Woohoo!
And so until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground. DPW. And review us on iTunes or Spotify. It's not that fucking hard. Just fucking do it. And this is why Lucy's son can't listen to the podcast.
So you say a lot of stuff about, like, sucking dicks. And
I mean, that's just general. Like, it's not just on the podcast. But, yeah, I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi. Your body's a wonderland, not a wasteland.
Thank you.
No, I think it's a wasteland if you don't fucking review us on iTunes, you piece of shit.
Your body is a wasteland.
Do you know I went to a John Mayer concert?
Yeah, you did.
Once?
Is the music playing over us right now?
I think so.
Like I've been to a Coldplay concert. Now you go, Brendan.
Is the podcast over, or are people still listening to us right now?
Well,
if you're listening to us, send us an email to let us know.
What's your concert like, that, Brendan?
My concert, like
Coldplay or what? John Coldplay Mayer? Or
shameful concert.
Oh, shameful concert.
Ooh. Also, I kind of stand by mine. Like, the era of Coldplay I saw, I'm here for it. Sorry. Yeah.
I can't think. I only went to really good
John
ones.
John Mayer is a bad dude. As if you... What ska band did you go to? Mighty Mighty Bosstones. John Mayer is a
Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
I have listened to a podcast about Jessica Simpson, and he's a bad guy.
Look,
I regret no ska bands that I went and saw. Thank you very much.
Look, I was on the concert kind of turned me off of John Mayer. You go to a John Mayer concert, I just want him to play fucking Body is a Wonderland and be sexy. And then he was just like, let's do a 30-minute guitar solo. And I'm like, this is not what I'm here for.
And the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, the impression that I get is a one-hit wonder. They don't represent the community. Stop bringing him up, Lucy.
Yeah, but it was in fucking My Brother the Pig, so it's always going to be a part of this podcast. So
as was the Hair Machine theme. This is it. What is?
No, here we go now.
All right, we need to end now. See you, bye.
Oh, bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.